This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The 69th National Day of Prayer being held today despite the pandemic, although it is being held in a bit of a different way. Because of the pandemic, the event is being held online, with organizers saying the need for prayer among God's people is greater than ever. The year-round movement hopes to rally prayer for America and to inspire revival. Meanwhile, President Trump is still talking about hoping to revive the U.S. economy.
We can't keep our country closed down for years, and we have to do something.
The president saying yesterday Americans won't stand the stay-at-home orders much longer, though he says people of certain ages and with underlying conditions are still going to have to practice social distancing. He says the pandemic is worse than Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 attacks. This is USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's shopsupertea.com or call 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
U.S. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, the latest U.S. official to say that China's, in his words, cover-up directly led to the coronavirus crisis, telling reporters this morning that the Chinese Communist Party put out propaganda to try to blame COVID-19 on the U.S., when in fact it was hoarding a lot of PPE because it knew the virus had started there and was going to go worldwide. Three of JetBlue's New York-themed airplanes will be doing a low-altitude flyover above NYC this evening as a salute to healthcare workers on the front lines of the battle against the coronavirus. This healthcare worker in the city says,
"I'm deeply humbled and appreciative that they would consider this and honor the healthcare workers."
It was 75 years ago today that Germany officially surrendered to the Allies, bringing World War II in Europe to an end. Of course, the war continued to rage in the Pacific for several more months. This is USA Radio News.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Some unseasonably cold air is now expected to arrive in the Midwest and the East. It could break temperature records this Mother's Day weekend. It could also bring some rare snow to parts of the Northeast. Temperatures already below average for much of the East, but it's about to get even colder by tomorrow. It might feel like March rather than May. Utah's annual Sundance Film Festival may have been an early hot spot in the coronavirus pandemic. The Hollywood Reporter has published an article saying that several of those who attended the Park City Festival in late January did come down with an illness that had all the symptoms of COVID-19. A state epidemiologist saying that she believes the coronavirus was probably circulating at Sundance, though there is little public health value that can be taken from that information as of now. The singer-songwriter who fronted Bad Company for years has passed away. Brian Howe died Wednesday in Florida at 66, reportedly of a heart attack. He had replaced Paul Rogers as the lead vocalist for Bad Company in 1983. He did most of the writing for the band's album Holy Water in 1990, the most successful album for the group, helped along by the hit If You Needed Somebody.
If you needed somebody.
Hal left Bad Company in 1994 for a solo career, but it never reached the level of his success with that band. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Bill Martinez, live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, as we come to you live Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. Bruce Kaufman is with us. Yes, the celebrated award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, and author. Mr. Bruce, how are we doing, buddy?
We're doing well, Bill. I'm like everybody else, social distancing, wearing masks, and all
yes.
of that.
Yeah, exactly. Doing everything that our grandparents and mothers have been telling us all these years. No doubt, along the way, we've gotten a little lax, and so maybe this is a good tutorial, a serious one, that we've got to be faithful in doing, and it seems to be paying some dividends here, outside of the fact that I know some of the scientists don't want to believe this, but, God created us in such a way, Bruce, that our own immune defenses can come into play, and that's what we're starting to see play out, is this herd immunity, right?
Yes, it is, absolutely. Also, it's kind of a tricky thing, but I do believe that, I go back and forth in this, Bill, but the whole point, we are in some sense violating the strict constitutional provisions in terms of assembly. The First Amendment says that we are all allowed to peaceably assemble.
Right.
And all of these orders by the governors and the mayors, in some sense, violate that. But I wonder whether it's not worth it in this case. And I always point to the fact that Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, suspended habeas corpus, which he had no power to do. That power only belongs to Congress. And yet he thought that it was absolutely critical to winning the war. And in some ways, he was right about that. And by the way, after the Civil War was won and the country reunited, habeas corpus, the full protection was restored.
Exactly. Well, the other thing to consider, what was going on with Abraham Lincoln, not much different than what was going on today with Donald Trump. I mean, there was a lot of opposition to Lincoln, and it wasn't like he had everybody allied with him. I mean, he was fighting a lot of contrarian forces, and dare I say, if he had the media that Donald Trump had today, I'm sure they'd be pigpiling on him just as bad.
Without question. No, absolutely. He was, the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court actually ruled that Lincoln had violated his powers as president and that habeas corpus had to be restored. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was the same Chief Justice, Roger Taney, that wrote the majority opinion in the Dred Scott decision that basically was the reason Abraham Lincoln quit being a lawyer and re-entered politics.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is, the challenge that we have today is the reality of what we're dealing with, and there is opportunity for us to learn from this, because chances are this isn't going to be the last virus that we have to deal with, right?
No, not even close. We can talk about how much I blame China for this, or how much we all blame China for this.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, viruses have been a part, pandemics have been a part of our history, and germs are out there in all kinds of form, and we don't know. In all the medical experiments, scientific experiments we're doing all over the world, world, mm-hmm. at which have multiplied, you know, exponentially over the last 25, 35 years, those things can cause leaks of germs mm-hmm. and that can cause pandemics.
Right. Well, you know, let's go on. I mean, because you wrote about Blame China. Tom Cotton has been the voice pointing towards the Wuhan labs that didn't happen in a wet market, that he sees the propaganda for what it is. But it's a lot more pervasive and dangerous than we realize. But just dealing with the aspect, first of all, that China was the source.
Yeah.
And the Wuhan laboratory is one of two laboratories, probably the one that Canada and the United States had a vested interest at one time. And
right.
the United States, what, over a year ago, said, hey, this is reckless. Their standards are off. We're going to just back away and let it go. Probably a big mistake, because had they stayed involved, they would have been able to keep an eye on it and maybe let us know a lot sooner than the way we found out.
Yes, absolutely the case. It was a mistake, and you know, it's a regrettable one, but there is no question that China not only is the cause of this, but China is also, its cover-up of this is another reason why the pandemic has spread.
Well, and part of the motivation, I heard one congressman say that they thought that not so much that it was, he's not to the point, because some people have said, you know, because we get in the realm of the conspiratorial whenever there is a lack of facts. And I always say that in the lack of, you know, the option you have in the absence of fact and opinion rules, but there's been suggestion that this was a purposeful biological act by the Chinese. I'm not there. I don't see that. I think that what's more plausible is that there was a mistake, that in fact the recklessness that the American scientists said could happen did in fact happen, and I think the communists decided that, look at their economy was already at risk because of everything that we'd been doing to them with sanctions. And that if you look at their, the trajectory which is going on in their GDP, they were hurting financially. And the last thing that they wanted to see happen was that they were going to take another hit. If they took another hit by themselves, this was going to be an absolute disaster. So I believe that the level pullers there in China decided, no, hey, look at, we're not going to take this by ourselves. If we're going to take the hit, then everybody's going to get in the pool with us.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they're now, I mean, as I wrote, okay, the fact that they're saying that, you know, this didn't originate in China, and yet they're shutting down all investigations of it, mm-hmm. is somewhat highly suspicious to me. I mean, this is what they, as I wrote, quote, China has imposed restrictions on the publication of academic research on the origins of the novel coronavirus. According to a central government directive, under the new policy, all academic papers on COVID-19 will be subject to extra vetting before being submitted to publication. That's extra vetting by the Chinese government.
Exactly. Yeah, not by any outside authority group whatsoever. And even as this played out, as we're, you know, going back and realizing that there were four doctors blowing the whistle, one of them, who I guess was the lead doctor, suspiciously, he contracts the disease and conveniently dies. And God only knows if his organs were body harvested or what, because that is the tradition of the communist Chinese. They're not going to let any good body go to waste, so they're going to harvest probably. So so his organs are harvested and being sold on the market, because that's what they do. And the other doctors we haven't heard from. So God only knows what happens to them, because they have a way of getting contrarians. They lock you up and throw the key away.
Getting contrarians out of the way.
Right, exactly.
So
that from the get-go is suspicious. The United States, Donald Trump, who says he has a good relationship with President Xi, calls President Xi and says, hey, look, we've got our specialists. We'll send them down. We'll help you out with this problem. No. We don't want anybody here.
Right.
So that adds to the suspicion. Then you start tracing this stuff, because it's not like anybody's a bunch of knuckleheads. And we start looking and seeing, wait a minute, this stuff is starting to spread, and the source, the consistent thread here is China. Donald Trump says, shut all air flight from China into the United States. And he's got Nancy Pelosi, he's got the Democrats, the mainstream media. Oh, my gosh, he's a racist. What's he doing? You know, the World Health Organization. Oh, all these contrarians that have served us no good whatsoever in this whole deal. They're exposed because they're on record for going against what the president did, which it was extremely valuable. And Nancy Pelosi and her misguided logic, I think she's OD'd on chocolate ice cream or something, Bruce.
Yeah, and her $24,000 refrigerator.
Yeah, I mean, she comes out and says, it was no big whoop, you know, that, you know, President Trump, he didn't get any big credit for doing that. Anyway, we got to go to break. We've got more from Bruce Kaufman after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with you. Coffee America, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I am Bill Martinez, the syndicated historian and columnist. Bruce Kaufman continues with us. Bruce, we've been lied to. We've been duped. And at every turn, and even by authorities that we had hoped would help guide us through this. But this is where America, as we the people, as individual, discerning individuals with everything that our Constitution and Bill of Rights authorizes us to enjoy, we must exercise, not so much for us, but for the future generations, don't you say?
Yes, absolutely, Bill. I mean, there's no question about it. We have been duped, we've been lied to, and now, we are now filing class action suits against China. I don't know where that's going to go, but at least we are trying, and I'm not sure how successful we're going to be at this, but at least we are trying to hold China accountable for their violations of practically every international norm we know.
Bruce, being the historian that you are, and I've thought about this, I said, how much pressure can we put on China in not letting them to become the new Germany? That they are going to feel the full force of the international community saying, you guys are the guys that did this.
Yeah.
You did this to us. I mean, you have cost America over $7 trillion. God only knows the world at large, but trillions of dollars here, and you owe us. How are they going to respond when they've got, an activated military that they have? They've got their, global desires to be the be-all and end-all. And now the international community is coming back at them saying, ain't going to happen.
Right. I'm not sure. One of the problems, of course, is that China is a member of the UN Security Council, and therefore it has a veto. So anything that the United Nations tries to do, China can shut down with that simple veto. So I don't think we're going to be able to get much help from the United Nations. Whether any of the international tribunals can help us, I don't know. I'm sure we're going to be taking cases to some of those world courts to see what they can do about it. But once again, if the courts rule in our favor, Bill, how do we enforce that ruling?
Exactly. Well, I think last time we checked, don't we owe China some money?
Yeah, we do. They owe quite a bit of our debt.
I mean, not to mention the fact that they still owe us or owe some families that at the turn of the century, I'm talking in the 20th century, had given them money, and they never got paid back. I think the only country that got paid back was England, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, we were in the same position. After the Second World War, after the First World War, we lent our European allies a ton of money, and England only finally paid us back on the World War II debt, I think, sometime in the late 1980s.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But it got paid back.
Right. But you see, and the thing is, even like what Trump's trying to do with NATO and everything, saying, look, you guys made an agreement, 2%. Germany, you guys got to, everybody's got to pay up. And it should be better than 2%. And especially with the threats coming upon, it seems on the horizon. I mean, forget about the terrorists. Forget about Hamas and all the terror that they're reigning and, the Muslim Brotherhood. I mean, we have other existential threats, which is interesting because it wasn't that long ago that you had Mitt Romney saying that Russia was our biggest threat. Barack Obama laughed at him, and so did the mainstream media. Of course, we know modern history. And then, by the way, somebody says, didn't I say China was a big problem down the road?
Yeah, and China is a big problem. It is, it is becoming a very, very aggressive world power. I mean, it's basically trying to take over the South China Sea. It is warning ships, neutral ships, shipping ships that they're not military, but just trade ships. The South China Sea is ours, so stay away. And they're enforcing that. And it's, it's becoming a bit of a problem is that China is becoming, I think, in some ways, now that the oil industry has collapsed, they could end up being more of a problem for us than Russia ever was from a military standpoint.
Right. What about all the materials that they're buying and, how they're investing in other governments? I mean, outside of the South China Seas and in India and that they're going in and taking over natural resources.
Yep, absolutely. And I don't know if you saw this, Bill, but now all the goods that they're shipping us are all worthless.
Yes. No. I've seen this time and again, but this is all part and parcel. And Bruce, again, you know, what happened with Germany, what happened with Japan is there's a price to be paid for this. And America and globalism in terms of its perspective on globalism and seeing the harm, because we were warned about this. We were warned about turning over some natural resources, turning over things that we should be producing. Donald Trump, a year and a half ago said, wait a minute. He looked up and said, we're not producing any steel anymore. I mean, if we had a military problem, we'd be bupkis land here.
Right.
I mean, you know, we're going to be buck naked here without having some steel. So we need to bring some steel manufacturing back to the country. But that was just the beginning. Now we saw what happened, what China threatened to do with the pharmaceuticals,
right,
and even threatening, going so far as to threaten to withhold. And we're the ones, are you kidding me? We're the ones that put you in business. Now you're going to say you're going to hold back from us? I don't think so.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I didn't realize this. I read this the other day. You know, we make about 2% of the aspirin that Americans take daily.
Yeah, I know.
That's the rest. It's mostly made in China. And yeah, now China, I mean, it isn't that they didn't start this thing. It isn't that they tried to cover it up, meaning that it got far worse. Now they're paying us back by refusing to send us the medical equipment that we need to help solve a problem that they created.
We see, and that's the other thing too, Bruce, when, you know, you look back on the TikTok of this whole deal, and this is what was surprising to me, was where was the Secretary of State, where were the people that are supposed to be keeping an eye and realizing, wait a minute, China all of a sudden is buying a bunch of PPEs.
Right.
What should we know from this? I mean, that question wasn't asked. I mean, supposedly Navarro had brought it to the president's attention, and maybe to some sort of remnant, or, you know, I'm not sure exactly the total amount, but there has been some sort of debate. Of course, the mainstream media is doing everything they can to discredit this president in saying that, you know, he acted so slowly. But Navarro only brought to the president's attention maybe a week earlier when he closed, you know, flights in from China.
Right.
He had an idea, but there was other things were going on that you go, What happened to the intel on this that we couldn't see that China is moving stuff? I mean, right now we kind of keep an eye on even Kim Jong-un's train right now. We don't know if he's alive or dead, but we can keep an eye on his train. But what's the matter? You mean tell me we can't figure out when China is buying up a bunch of PPE uncharacteristically?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, what else is there to say? This is something we should have spent more time thinking about. We've made mistakes on that. Mm-hmm. I think the best we can do is just, you know, redouble our efforts. And now that we have China in our crosshairs, Bill, now that we actually realize what they're from, I'm hoping and I'm expecting that we will be, if not evening the score, we will be catching up with them.
Well, the American people need to wise up a bit on this, because we've been distracted for 3.5 years. Over impeaching this president, doing everything we can. And the Democrats, I believe, I mean, they want to put this at the foot of Republicans. But, you know, and I'll be political about this. They have done us no favors. They have distracted. They have been relentless about doing everything they can to resist what this president has done. And by and large, when you look at what he has done, like him or not, I mean, I don't like everything about Donald Trump. I don't think it's my job to like everything that Donald Trump does. But there's some things that he has done that have just been extraordinary. And if not Donald Trump, you know, like I asked the question the other day to a congressman, I said, could you imagine if Hillary Clinton was in the White House and Nancy Pelosi controlled the House as she does now and Chuck Schumer controlled the Senate, what would America be looking like right now in the midst of this coronavirus?
It would be chaos. It absolutely would be. And yeah, you're right. I mean, you said earlier, let's get into politics. So much of this is motivated by politics and the fact that a November election is coming up. And there are so many Democrats who are willing to put aside the well-being of the country if they can score political points against Donald Trump because of this issue.
Along with the media, because the media does no favor either. I mean,
well,
instead of
and the Democratic Party pretty much in bed together. Both.
Yeah, exactly. It is one and the same. It's a cabal. Bruce, how can they be in touch with you?
They can. My website is historylessons.net, www.historylessons.net, one word, plural. And there you can read my column, my Thinking Out Loud column. It's a subscribe to Bruce's writings. Type in your first name, last name, email address. Check which ones you want, and I will send them to you every week in an email.
There he is, the award-winning syndicated columnist, Bruce Kaufman here. Thank you, Bruce. Stay well and healthy, my friend.
Thank you, Bill. I will.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The 69th National Day of Prayer being held today despite the pandemic, although it is being held in a bit of a different way. Because of the pandemic, the event is being held online, with organizers saying the need for prayer among God's people is greater than ever. The year-round movement hopes to rally prayer for America and to inspire revival. Meanwhile, President Trump is still talking about hoping to revive the U.S. economy.
We can't keep our country closed down for years, and we have to do something.
The president saying yesterday Americans won't stand the stay-at-home orders much longer, though he says people of certain ages and with underlying conditions are still going to have to practice social distancing. He says the pandemic is worse than Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 attacks. This is USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 8th Annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, May 29th to June 1st. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, leading-edge science, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend offers lectures and workshops, exciting panels, and a luncheon that I'm hosting. Contact in the Desert also features leading experts including Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, Stephen Greer, Emery Smith, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and many important researchers and scientists from all over the world. With the breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, Contact in the Desert is your place for inside information. Join us at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. It's time to make contact. That's contactinthedesert.com. Contactinthedesert.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
And that's our mission objective, to get this country back on track. That requires everybody's oar in the water. This is a we the people type of thing. It has nothing to do with the Republican or Democrat, all this partisan stuff. It just gets in the way of the objective. I mean, we're about surviving here, and not only surviving, but thriving, because that is historically part of our DNA here in this great country of ours. We're going to be talking about this book, Fire in Paradise, an American Tragedy, from Alistair G. and Danny Aguiano. They're from the Bay Area of California, the West Coast. And this is quite the harrowing story of the most destructive American wildfire in a century. Think about it. No precedent in post-war American history for the destruction of the town of Paradise, California. There is absolutely none. On November the 8th of 2018, the community of 27,000 people was swallowed by the ferocious campfire, which razed virtually every home and killed at least 85 people. The catastrophe seared and scarred the American imagination, taking the front page of every major national newspaper and top billing on the news networks. It displaced tens of thousands of people, yielding a refugee crisis that continues to unfold. As I mentioned, both authors, Alistair G. is an award-winning editor and reporter at The Guardian, who's also written for The New Yorker Online, The New York Times, and The Economist. And Danny Aguiano writes for The Guardian, was a reporter for the Chico Enterprise Record. And as I said, they're both from the San Francisco Bay Area. Alistair and Danny, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. We're glad to be here.
Well, good.
Yeah, thanks.
Alistair, let me ask you first. Describe Paradise, California, so people understand. You know, we've seen it on television and some of the reports, but, you know, let's bring it home to our audience here.
Well, Paradise really was paradise. It was settled in the California Gold Rush about 150 years ago, and people came there looking for this precious mineral, and they discovered instead this beautiful place in the mountains. So that's why they called it paradise. And it grew into this small town of about 30,000 people, and there were smaller communities in the mountains around it. And I think what people loved about it, they just had this appreciation for its natural qualities, but also what made it especially attractive in a state like California, where housing prices are off the charts and cities like L.A. and San Francisco are increasingly unaffordable. Paradise was this rare place that you could actually, you know, afford a home, afford to buy a home. Mm-hmm. And so there were also more elderly people there, more people with disabilities there than in the rest of the state. There was a higher poverty rate, you know, because it was a place where people who were priced out of other places, they could, you know, get their own little bit of California and build a home there. Mm-hmm. And so that's what Paradise was. And, you know, it was your typical small town America. It had the Safeway, and it had, you know, the Walgreens, and it had the Black Bear Diner downtown, and lots of little antiques and thrift stores. It was a really charming place.
Mm-hmm. All those neat cafes, Danny, right, where you get, you know, comfort food in a very unique, localized sort of manner, right?
Yeah, that is exactly right. And those little places, you know, were a part of Paradise people really enjoyed, especially because you have to picture Paradise was this small little town nestled among millions of big, beautiful trees. When you drove up to the town, you had this beautiful sweeping view of, you know, the Sacramento Valley and rice fields and this mountain range, and then you were just among the trees.
Mm. Wow. And so in terms of its situation, closer to Sacramento, obviously, than San Francisco, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. It's about an hour and a half from Sacramento, so very far from, you know, the big cities that come to mind when people think of California, you know, L.A., San Francisco. This is a much more rural part of the state.
Just by geography, Alistair, very well protected, huh? I mean, in terms of, you know, protected from the influence of the big cities, and as you say, it was just a very localized area.
Yeah. I mean, Paradise, you know, like much of inland California, Paradise had its be more conservative. It was, you know, it was more religious than a lot of other places in California. It was its own little place. But also, you know, for that matter, it was a very welcoming place. I mean, I had one great story of, you know, the one liberal columnist of the Paradise Post, the local newspaper. He was best of friends, you know, with his neighbor whose dream in life was to be President Trump. So it was this kind of place where, you know, like in all small towns, really, I think people, you know, put aside their differences because, you know, that's what comes with being neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Danny, how did you and Alistair come together to write Fire in Paradise?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, I came to this story initially. So I'm originally, I grew up near Paradise, about 15 miles down the road, mm-hmm. lived there for a long time and worked in the area as a local reporter, covering, you know, even Paradise. And then I went to work for The Guardian in the Bay Area. And when the fire happened, you know, I immediately got texts from family and friends who lived in the area, who were really worried about this bad fire that they knew was coming their way. And so when that happened, it was clear to me that the fire would be really bad. I mean, at this point, there are already reports of people being trapped and such. And so I asked if I could cover the fire, given my experience and connection to the area. And then I headed up to Paradise, which, you know, as thousands of people were essentially leaving because conditions were becoming so dangerous there. And then, you know, during the course of my reporting, Alistair and I started working together. He edited some of my initial stories, and then we worked on some bigger pieces together. Found that we worked together really well, and that's what eventually led to our book.
Mm-hmm. Well, excellent. Alistair, explain to our audience what happened in Fire in Paradise.
for people outside of California, I was born and raised in Southern California, but, you know, fires in the north, fires throughout the state seem to be a recurring theme of the state. And even President Trump had suggested that maybe there was a breakdown in, you know, forest management that keeps contributing to the fires there in the state.
Yeah, it's a really good question. There are lots of factors that go into it. I mean, you know, first off, you're right. California, as a state, much of the western U.S., fire is native to that landscape in the same way that, you know, other places have hurricanes or monsoons. They're just a part of life. In California, in fact, lots of plants have evolved to require fires to propagate themselves. So some conifer trees, for instance, they need the extreme heat of fire rising from the ground to open the seed cones and to you know, grow saplings. So it, you know, California is designed in a way to burn somewhat. But what was unique about this fire was the intensity of this fire. You know, in the months and years preceding the Paradise fire, we've seen fire behavior that, you know, even first responders and firefighters that they just had no comparison for. There was an incredible, and it sounds crazy, but the fire tornado that was 1,000 feet across, that just a few months before the Paradise fire burned in a nearby town. And so there was also, you know, there were just basically increasingly fires that there was no reference for. And, you know, this was coming at a time where the state was also seeing its hottest years ever in recorded history, where scientists are showing that the snowpack in the Sierra Nevada mountains, if there's less of it, it melts earlier in the year owing to increased temperatures. And then, you know, you throw into the mass, forests are an issue as well, because we've gotten so efficient at putting out fires now. You know, California has such a great state firefighting force that the forests, you know, I mentioned that they used to burn regularly at a lower intensity. Because that burning is not happening anymore, because they're so good at putting out fires, they're actually, you know, more tangled and thicker than they would ordinarily be. You've got all these fires, all these factors coming together. And then the one final deadly factor that occurred on November 18th was you had a power line out in the wilderness. It was a very old power line. It hadn't been maintained by the electricity company, PG&E. And it threw off a couple of sparks. And that was, you know, that was the tip that lit the tinder. That was what, you know, all these conditions together, that's what needed to happen for it to kick this fire off. And it did.
Well, and of course, here it is, this historic fire, and you wrote a book about it, Fire in Paradise, an American Tragedy. We're talking with Alistair and Danny, and more from them after this.
Thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book, because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent, we are just the way you like to hear from us. Stay in pursuit of the truth, no matter where it leads. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and our conversation with Alistair G. and Danny Aguiano continues. We're talking about their book, Fire in Paradise, and that's Paradise, California, an American tragedy. Danny, as Alistair had set up in the previous segment here, as we concluded the first segment, this really turned into be the perfect storm, all ignited by an electrical wire, and that sets off the spark, and before you know it, the people in Paradise are being overwhelmed. It just came upon them so quickly. Of course, we had some wind that contributed to this light brush and this tinder that was just ripe for the explosion, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there were incredibly strong winds going into that day. And so once that power line, you know, ignited some brush, it just carried the fire away, essentially. The fire moved so quickly. I mean, it was consuming hundreds of football fields of vegetation a minute, and it was moving faster than anyone knew that fire was capable of moving. So fast that as it approached Paradise, you know, it was going through these other communities, and as it approached Paradise, the firefighters themselves couldn't believe it. They said, "No, how is that possible? That fire was miles away." And pushed by this strong wind, it comes upon the community of Paradise so quickly that people just don't have time to prepare. And part of the reason why that happens is because the wind pushes these little flaming pieces of leaves or brush, they're called firebrands, it pushes it miles and miles ahead of the fire. So one cop told me that he heard about a fire burning miles away, and then, you know, he's going about his morning not knowing that the fire is approaching Paradise, and he gets a call to a burning tree, and he goes in the middle of town, and he sees this tree, this, you know, this massive oak tree is just completely on fire. And that's when he realizes that Paradise is in danger. Everyone needs to leave. So at that time, you know, the fire is sweeping over the town. It's burning into homes. And first responders and firefighters who normally would be trying to contain this fire, they don't have time for that. They have to tell people to leave. And what happens from there is tens of thousands of people pour onto the roads to try to escape. And at the same time, the fire is moving so fast, it's burning all around them.
Alistair, in this situation, I mean, as Danny said, this isn't about containment. Now we're just talking survival, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it became, for many people, a question of, you know, the question of survival was, did you move quickly enough? Did you take decisive action? Because, you know, we saw many cases where, you know, one story we heard was of a mother and daughter, you know, an adult daughter, arguing about how dangerous the fire was because, you know, in the early part of the fire, people just didn't think it was moving. You could move so quickly to engulf Paradise. And so this mother and daughter were arguing, you know, should we leave? Shouldn't we leave? And the daughter eventually left. You know, she left her mother behind, and the, you know, the consequences were tragic of that. And so in the end, yes, whether you left or, you know, the choices you made in those very crucial few hours, it turned out to really shape, you know, the course of people's lives. And a number of the deaths were people who were unable to leave, either because they had a disability and they were physically unable to get into a car or to drive themselves, or because, you know, they were elderly, they have less mobility, and people couldn't get to them. They were simply trapped inside their own home.
Danny, as Alistair suggests, and I imagine the stories that you documented in your research and putting this together, I mean, this is so incredible. I mean, you had 27,000 people in this community whose lives, in an almost in an instant, pretty much, has just been turned upside down. They've been devastated. You've got, eighty-five people died in this fire. So the stories that you must have accumulated in your research, share some of those with us, if you would.
Sure. So while all this is happening, you know, while people are having to make these really crucial decisions, there are also people who are making other decisions. There are these extraordinary acts of bravery amid all these tales of survival. The one that comes to mind for me is this 82-year-old man, this retired firefighter, who was very aware of the risk of fire in that community. He saw the smoke around his house. He could see the flames, you know, way off in the distance. So he wakes up his daughter that morning, his adult daughter, and says, you need to go. You need to get out of here, but I'm going to stay because there's things I can do.
Mm-hmm.
So he sends his daughter off, and then this 82-year-old man, he's deaf. He gets in his truck and starts driving around, trying to map the fire. He helps out local fire crews, giving them updates. And then he even fights the fire himself. He saves this old historic firehouse that he used to work in. This is a community that really meant a lot to him, and so he wasn't going to leave without doing what he could to save it.
Wow. Alistair, how about you? You shared one about the mother-daughter. What other stories stuck out for you?
Well, there was one story of a gentleman who was stuck outside town while his wife was still side. And he and a friend, you know, he's an older guy in his 70s. He didn't know what happened to his wife, so he and his friend got in a truck and they approached the police cordon around town. And they had to establish a cordon because there were so many bodies, you know, inside the town. There was a search and recovery operation. It was incredibly dangerous. There was it was just a disaster scene. And so the police were stopping people coming in and out. They were also concerned about looting. And so this older man didn't know what happened to his wife. They, in their truck, broke through the police cordon and sped at 100 miles an hour up the road towards his house to try and find out what happened to his wife. And so I was just so moved and so touched, and, you know, it's such a tragic story. You know, and eventually, you know, the police pulled them over. The guy's friends, they pulled him out, they handcuffed him, but then they let him go when they heard the story and heard what he was trying to do, and they took him up to his house to find out what happened.
Well, Danny, I like what Dan Egan, the author of Death and Life of the Great Lakes, had to say about this book. He says that Guy and Aguiano's on-the-ground reporting from California's deadliest wildfire is so riveting and evocative that you can almost smell the smoke
not just from the oaks and pines, but from all the scorched vinyl-sided homes, melted car tires, exploding propane tanks. Their account of how a city of 27,000 burned to the ground in a matter of hours reads like a thriller full of daring escapes, life-saving heroics, staggering loss of life, and bad actors. It's also crucial as the world warms, cities across the arid West are increasingly at risk of suffering a fate similar to paradise. And I think that this is what you bring out in the book, and that Alistair had pointed out earlier, is this is the nature of California and the West. And I don't know if we have gotten any answers after everything is said and done, and what kind of takeaways people can apprehend after an experience like this. Danny, what do you say?
Sure. I think the first one we always like to go back to is just the fact that, you know, amid all this chaos and destruction, there were people like the ones we told you about who, they have these incredible acts of bravery to try to save their town and to save people. And that's the one I always like to think of. But in addition to that, I think the other big takeaway here for us is that what happened in paradise can happen again.
Exactly.
We know that. That scientists know that. That's what we've heard. So a fire like this that can sweep over a town seems so incredible as to be, you know, almost a one-off. But we know that's not true. There are other towns at risk. And, you know, as the climate warms and conditions get more dry, they're at a greater risk for these catastrophic fires. And so, you know, it's time for other towns to start thinking about what can they do to prepare. Mm-hmm. And I think one of sort of the silver linings of all this is that other towns have started thinking of that.
Exactly. Alistair, Paradise, California, what is it like today?
It's not what it was. Obviously, it's a shell of itself in many ways. Only about 15% of the population still live there now. Mm. There is some rebuilding going. You know, a couple hundred rebuild permits have been issued, and people are coming back. I think what people say is that it's not going to be the paradise that they knew. I mean, everything from the history of the place, you know, in the form of the local history museum burned up, to all these wonderful, sort of affordable, charming homes, historic homes, historic buildings, they've all gone. A lot of it, you know, it's character, you know, the trees have gone as well, the nature that people love has gone. But people think that there's also a chance to build maybe a new, better kind of paradise, as Danny said, maybe one that is more prepared for these fires that no one thought was possible. And so I think, you know, there are people who think that they can build a life there. There are also people who say, I'll never go back. That said, you know, I met one woman, she said, I'll never go back, and I just met her a couple of weeks ago. And she said, actually, I can't stay away. It's my home, my heart is there.
Yes.
And she's now involved with the rebuild effort.
Exactly. Well, we have to leave it there. Danny Agriano, we thank you for being with us. She writes for The Guardian. Alistair Gee, an award-winning editor and reporter at The Guardian as well, in their new book, Fire in Paradise. There'll be a link on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. An American Tragedy. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. Take care. Be safe.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is a pandemic survival alert, and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing. Mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports too. Don't wait, every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.